The following podcast is intended for mature audiences. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Naked Wizard Media.
Everybody, welcome to Talking Westeros, the Game of Thrones podcast. I'm your host, Carrie. Joining me, as always, Sherry, Sarah, and Jeff are here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm well. How are you, Jeff?
I'm getting on.
Have you been watching a lot of Game of Thrones lately?
A couple episodes. Yeah.
What'd you think of this new one?
I didn't mind it, actually.
That's it. You know, this episode is very interesting because it's actually the first episode that the previous episode with the rape scene got people talking, but this episode actually has upset quite a few fans.
Oh yeah, because it's got another rapey scene in it, eh?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of the groups that I belong to on Facebook. There are some people that are saying that they're stopping to watch the show now.
Why?
Really?
Because this episode veered away from the books completely. The entire scene with the White Walkers does not take place in the book at all.
Sad.
Now, the rumor out there right now that's going around is that the TV show has trumped the books and has released a future plot for one of the future books.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We're talking about Oathkeeper today, the fourth episode of season four. This one was directed by Michelle MacLaren and written by Brian Cognon. Now, I didn't mind what they did here. I like the fact that they've gone a different direction than the books because the basic story is still happening.
You know what? It's not that they've necessarily gone away from the story. You have to do certain plot elements in a visual thing other than book. You can't do the same internal monologues.
As someone that's read the books, are you happy that they're doing something a little different that you don't know the outcome of?
I always, going into any movie or any kind of television event that I've watched that I've read the books, expect that the television or the movie adaptation will be different than the books, because you can't, if you do stuff, there's been movies and stuff made exactly like the book, and most of them don't work.
Yeah, direct, faithful adaptations. I can't think of too many that... The one I can think of that was almost a scene-for-scene adaptation that worked really well was The Green Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them don't. I love that movie. Most of them are, you just like, okay, really? Especially if you know the source material, it takes you out of it because you know exactly what's going to happen.
Also, Stephen King isn't heavy into internal monologues either. Mm. He's mostly into the third-person kind of telling of a story most of the time.
Stephen King's all about character. Yeah. His strength is characterization.
Yeah.
Now, folks, if you hear some whimpering on today's podcast, don't worry, Jeff. Jeff just hasn't had dinner yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just the dog we're having for dinner.
that's Jeff and Sarah's pug, Miley. She's a baby. And
just a baby.
We have Louie in here, too, the Naked Wizard Media mascot. And she wants to play, but she's too loud to play, so Sarah's got to hold her in her arms here while we're doing the podcast, so you might hear the occasional little puppy cry.
If it makes you feel better, she likes the direwolves on the show.
So does she?
She loves the... Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
That's cute.
She's probably thinking, oh, is that Louie? She worships Louie, the ground he walks on.
We're going to have to put their pictures up on the website, too.
Yeah.
Because they're always here. These early scenes of Daenerys freeing the slaves, very effective... Moving, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
That's the only problem I did have with the episode was that, yes, it was somewhat faithful to the book, this scene, but the book fleshed it out a little bit better.
Yeah.
Exactly what she was, her mood was, and
how she surprised these people.
But you can't, because books do that all the time.
Yeah.
Books, that's the whole medium of books. That's what it's better for, but is to get the internal feelings of the characters.
She's not going
to
have a soliloquy. Here's the thing
is, okay, well, I'll give you an example. when she's standing in front of all the slavers, and she says, okay, I'm going to forgive you guys, okay? But 163 of you are getting hung up. So,
which is rightfully so.
Pick among yourselves.
Now, that happened. Just, she yeah. didn't say that
yeah.
in
yeah.
there. But yeah.
They showed it. They showed it.
That wasn't verbatim. That was just a...
the one thing I in this these early scenes that I thought was very, very realistic was the debate that the slaves had.
Yeah.
Because a little bit of you know, like they're...
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah, well, that's all that they've known. That's yeah. their, yep. that's their whole life. So they're a lot of them are very worried about what's going to happen if they become free. And I have a question for you guys. I might make a very controversial statement here, but
I love controversial statements.
Do you guys think that Daenerys a little bit is manipulating these people?
Yes,
because I
yeah.
do.
Yep.
Yeah, well, but yeah.
Because they're freeing them as slaves for them to come and serve her. Now it's their choice.
They're free to serve.
They're free to
leave. Yes, whatever.
But she knows that the majority of these people, if slavery is all they've known,
that's and she
releases
fall right back
she
into.
Releases them from their binds and says, "Well, you can follow me, but you're more free than what you were." The majority of them are probably going to follow her. She knows.
Yeah.
Them.
And well, yeah. That's something else they took out of the book where I think they're trying to hold that off for her. You don't want to see exactly how manipulating she is because before they come to this city, 20 miles in every direction, the slavers of the city had poisoned all the well. There's no food anywhere within 20 miles of the city. Hmm. So these slaves don't have any choice but to stay with her.
Exactly. Daenerys is still a great character, and she's not...
I still love her.
She's not an antagonist, but she's not... I don't think she's as like black and white as she was initially made to be.
Yeah.
She does. Well, she shows in this episode she has a ruthless side, and she's shown threads of that before.
Well, she is still Targaryen.
Picturing dragons burning people.
But she's not afraid to manipulate people to get what she wants.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But any big leader does that, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You have to be
nice
a little bit
all
ruthless.
The time.
Ruthless right. and charismatic. Mm-hmm.
If you're a leader that's not a little bit ruthless, you're not leading.
Yeah.
Because eventually your people that are supposed to be following you are going to end up telling you what to do. But I do like how they show her how Selmy tells her, you know, sometimes, you know, having some grace is better. And if you let these people go, and she's like, no. These people are going to have the same fate that those people.
Yeah.
Them being nailed up, that was very, very, very close to Christian symbolism right there.
Yeah.
Actually, our son asked about that when he came downstairs.
Yeah.
I remember that.
If you notice. Like,
to get a glass of water. He's like, why are they crucifying people?
Yeah.
I was like,
and you're like, get upstairs.
We're like, go back upstairs. Go play some more. Yeah. Go watch some shows up there.
But yeah, it was very like if they obviously knew better than to put the other arm up. Because if the other arm up was... That
well, they were directional figures anyway. Yeah. They were pointing...
But, by the way, before we get totally in depth in this, I know we don't have a ton of listeners, but I would like to promote a new show out there on, I think, Showtime. It's called Penny Dreadful.
Oh, it's creepy.
Are they giving us any money for this?
They're not giving us any money. Fuck. I just watched the first episode of it yesterday. Let me tell you something. Game of Thrones has nothing on this show in terms of gruesome.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay,
it's
a good thing.
Very graphic.
If you would have ended it there as Game of Thrones has nothing on the show, I would have been like, okay.
Get out.
Really?
Just gruesome.
So you like it then? It's brand new?
Yeah.
It's got Josh Hartnett.
I'm out. Josh Hartnett.
You're just trying.
I don't, you know,
did
I,
you
I
know,
like Josh Hartnett, but I don't like the way by he does
way,
this one, but I overlooked
did
him.
You guys know that Josh Hartnett turned down Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman?
Yeah.
All three roles.
Wow.
Because he knows he's terrible?
I don't know. Well, he's had such a great career not doing these roles.
But he's kind
of... You know what?
Cute,
there's a couple
though,
of movies
has...
I've liked him in. Have you ever seen Lucky Number 11?
Yeah.
No.
You just...
That is a really
like
good thinking
movie.
Show.
You're just hopping on a new show because they canceled Almost Human and you're all upset.
Oh, you know what? I stopped watching that show about four episodes in. So. Oh,
really? I know somebody else that was pretty upset about Almost Human, too.
Nah.
I was confused in this episode at first, the first time they showed it, but... What were they looking up? The was that Daenerys' sigil on the building? On the peak of the building, they showed it twice.
She put a new sigil on, yeah.
But yeah, but it's her. It's her. She's taken over. She's taken over the city. Okay, that's what I thought it was. Now we get the scenes with Bronn and Jamie. Bronn hits Jamie with his own hand. That was hilarious. I'm really starting to like Bronn.
I've always liked him because he's
this
sarcastic.
Is a character that I think has really kind of grown on me.
And you know what?
Like he's one of my favorites now.
I like him because he's witty and he's sarcastic, and that's why I'm like, I love.
Did you know that he's a former British pop star?
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in the boy band with
Take That? No.
Robbie Williams.
That's Robbie Take Williams. That.
Is it Take That?
No.
Yeah, that's Take That.
Oh, no. I know it is, but he wasn't in that band.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Check it out.
I'm going to look it up as
there we go.
Isn't talk he a little amongst old? Yourselves.
Old? Yeah, old he's that? Well.
No.
You got to remember, I was listening to Take That when I was, what, a teenager, young teenager?
Okay.
And they were already at their, well, you know, like 20s. So you got to think, I'm, what, 30-some now?
Oh, shoot. How old are you, Sarah?
30-some. 30-some.
Still a pop.
That's Sarah's official age, 30-some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm turning something this year.
You're what? You're 31 and staying right there, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was 29 and staying right there.
Yeah.
Well, when people say I look younger, but whatever.
What did you guys think of the scene between Jamie and Tyrion? I love the relationship because it's like the one person that Jamie. It's not the one person he cares about, but it's the one person that cares about Tyrion.
Yeah, and Tyrion admires Jamie a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, Peter Dinklage in this scene is great. I love the Kingslayer brothers reference.
Yeah.
Would you like that? I think it sounds great. Mm-hmm. Now, Jamie does bring up a point when he's talking about Sansa. If you really look at the situation there, Sansa does look very guilty.
Guilty, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's like let's see, the king is murdered and you have more reason than anyone in the kingdom to want to murder the king. Mm-hmm. And then you're gone. Yep.
That kind of disappointed me about this episode a little bit too, was they, in the books, they held the murder a little bit longer. Like you didn't really, they didn't visually show who ended up killing Joffrey, and they held it.
So Sarah's doing research over there.
I found it actually.
And they held it back a little longer, gave it a little more suspense. And I wish they would have done the same thing, because I like the part. I like how they threw in the little tidbits when Joffrey died to the people that read the books. You know who does it. You know what she was doing.
Yeah.
But I wish they wouldn't revealed it to.
See, I'm the opposite of that. I'm glad that it didn't. That they didn't drag it out.
They didn't drag it out for the whole season.
Yeah. Because. Then you would have had the entire the mystery of who killed Joffrey. No, you know what? This show is so good that they can get over that in the next episode because they have way more important things to talk about.
Yeah,
I actually like the fact that they joined. Now, it probably took away a little bit of the intrigue and the mystique and
it
all
did.
That.
That's what it did.
But as someone that didn't read the books,
you want
watching
to right
a show.
Away.
I'm actually thankful that for once the television series didn't make a story arc last an entire season of who.
Well, you had to be
the whodunit.
You had to be fucking stupid not to just see the signs right on the board right away.
Yeah.
They pretty much spelled it out to you.
Well, Littlefinger, the mastermind behind. Mm-hmm. I one thing I really liked in the scene between him and Sansa, and the previous scene between Tyrion and Jaime, is how you have both Tyrion and Sansa saying about the other. No, they couldn't have done it, or they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how do you know? I just know. It's like, now, I'm not saying anything's going to develop of their relationship, but they seem to have grown a little bit from when they were first married.
They've also gotten a little bit farther apart.
Well, yeah, but they both know each other well enough now to both make the same statement, basically, that I know the other one didn't do it. So I'm not saying there's feelings there on Sansa's part, but she obviously, maybe not feelings, but I think she does feel for Tyrion now.
So she knows that he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's aight.
I have the video.
It's
Robson and Jerome he played in. It's probably horrible.
Yeah. Yikes. I'm
going to be listening to that later.
Now, We're not going to give away any future plot elements here from the book or anything, but at this point in the story, on the TV show only, are you guys as confused as I am about Littlefinger's motives? It's just, I find it really confusing. Like, why are you doing...
He's a weasel, I told
like,
you.
He was, okay, he's, been, you, he's been aligned if, with if the you Lannisters.
Examine, if you examine all the episodes beforehand, this followed as closely as I have now because we've been doing this podcast and I really watched, I mean, it's like watching all the episodes again is like watching the show, a new show, because you sit there and you catch all the little nuances that they have in the show. Mm-hmm. And if honestly, if you'd been watching from the beginning of the series, mm-hmm. you will see why Littlefinger's doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, he must have a very large plan. Like,
yeah.
He wants it all, isn't that what he said?
That
he
is
wants
what he
it
said.
All. So that he's just aligning himself with whoever to get to his main objective, and, which is
and the only thing he cares about is himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know he's not a likable character, but no. guys, he plotted the death of Joffrey. Yeah. So,
yeah. So yay.
He can't be all
you know
that
what
bad,
he is
right?
is the exact polar opposite of Varys. Like, Varys will do anything for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And Littlefinger will do anything for himself.
Yeah.
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 And of course, the big reveal, it was subtle, but the person that actually committed the act of killing Joffrey was Olenna.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't have got a more perfect actor.
She is amazing.
Yeah, she is awesome.
I love her.
See, and you know what? She plays that character as in the books, too. She's exactly the same character.
Yeah.
Just as mouthy. You know, just as
she'd make a good grandma yeah. for like a type of person.
I love
like
the
me.
Story that she tells Marjorie that,
yeah.
But her sister, I'm like,
yeah.
oh my god,
yeah,
big hoe.
Now, I was a little confused here at first when we see Locke, because I had forgotten a lot. I thought he was like a new character, and I'm like, oh, who is this guy? This is the guy that cut off
honestly,
Jamie's hand.
Because I don't know why, but I seen him like it looked like they had a different person playing him.
No,
I checked.
But it's the same guy. Yeah, but
I knew right from the start.
They must have thinned out his mustache or something. I don't know.
No, I was looking at you guys like waiting for one of you to say something because I'm like,
yeah,
this guy,
I totally didn't. Totally didn't recognize
I didn't want
him
to say
first.
Anything and not look and look stupid.
But of course, like if you remember back in the last episode or two episodes ago. The other snow there.
Ramsey
yeah. Snow yeah. told him to go, or was it Roose? I think it was Roose that told him to go find Bronn and bring
yeah,
him back to
totally.
Him.
Totally. It was just
or,
it
not went, Bronn, but Bran.
It just sorry. Totally left me. And I'm like, yeah. when I saw Locke, I'm like, oh, here's a new character.
Yeah. like, I wonder if he's going to be a good guy.
Shame on me.
But, nope.
I you know, I'm wondering too if Thorne is going to have his comeuppance at some point. You can tell John wants to end that guy really badly. And he's a very unlikable character too. He's picking on John.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the thing. This whole scene with Locke and everything wasn't in the books, and that's what I'm excited to see, cuz like I'm just as much as a new looker as you guys are now, cuz they didn't have this. Isn't a plot point in the book? So
yeah,
that's what I mean. Like this is where a lot of the real diehard fans are yeah. upset here because it deviated
yeah,
from the book.
Well,
but
that's TV.
I'm a diehard
television,
listen,
folks.
Get over
was
it?
I not?
Yeah.
Did I not have Game of Thrones countdown
yes,
on my
yes.
phone 2 months before Game of Thrones even came on? Trust me, I'm a diehard fan, and I love that they switched it around.
Yeah, I think a lot of the diehard Game of Thrones fans are. Probably as into it as a lot of the diehard Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And damn, like move something on the bridge and they're upset.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Wow. Star Trek, you know. Star Wars, all that.
Some of them take it really seriously. That's why I like our podcast, all the podcasts
yeah.
that we do.
Yeah.
We look at stuff from the all of these podcasts are by fans for fans.
Yeah.
We're not these diehard, you know, that you can't change a thing in the canon and
that's
all this
right.
stuff. And you know what? First of all, the first thing that any TV show or movie has to do is entertain me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care how much they change it from the source material. Is it still good?
Is it
yes?
still
yeah.
yes?
Yeah.
Okay, then I like it
to a point. to a point. Yeah. I don't want them deviating.
You don't want to change the entire thing, but yeah. you can always throw some new stuff.
Yeah. Switch some things around. It. I mean, just be like, open to a little change.
Look at but George Lucas. He isn't God, like, right?
All of our podcasts that we do, we try to go in. We look at the everything that we're watching seriously, but we have a tongue in cheek look at all of our reviews on all of our podcasts. Yeah. And I'd rather take that approach than be sitting here all stiff and going, that White Walker is not in the book.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, you know what?
Sirio didn't have hair in the book.
Yeah, exactly. Like, calm down, people. Like, just enjoy the show.
It's a minor thing when it has to do with hair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can see if they switched around. Okay, yes, the White Walker's not there, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it.
But I have an interesting theory to share with you guys about that White Walker, too.
By the way, I didn't tell you off air, but I guess I'll tell you now. You remember we were talking...
You're pregnant.
No.
Oh.
It's not about Game of Thrones either. You'll get mad at me for going off topic, but whatever.
Well, as long as you don't go off topic long.
No, it won't be too long. Remember when we did the podcast on the Star Wars and you read about how Netflix is making Star Wars The Clone Wars like the last season?
Yeah.
Well, I re-upped my membership yesterday. I've about five episodes in. Each one has a significant meaning towards the end of, like, he turns into Darth Vader, why the Empire is doing, right. How they got their money, how they got, why Anakin started getting all pissy and stuff.
In other
like
words,
that.
I've been forced to watch it for like the last 2 days.
But each episode is significant, and it tells you something different about each thing.
It gets annoying after a while. Like, watch something different.
How they controlled the clone troopers to kill all the Jedi.
Welcome to Talking Westeros and whatever.
Yeah.
Plus.
The Locke character. So you know that there's going to be a betrayal coming up here soon. Oh, either a betrayal or he's going
to
end
die.
Up getting so much respect for the Stark family that he's going to...
I don't know... He never said anything about killing Jon. He just said, go get me Bran.
Yeah. And
so
Jon's going to lead him right to Bran,
yeah.
apparently. But now Cersei, who seems to be in the initial stages of a very bad downward spiral here.
Yeah, but...
this is the one scene that bothered me in this episode. Not because of what happened, because of what didn't happen. There is no
fallout. Nothing.
There's no fallout from the previous episode.
Yeah. Which I think is, you know what? I'm probably the only one on this planet, besides the guy that directed the last episode, that thinks that's completely fine. Because whatever, it happened. Okay?
I know.
Whatever. It's bad enough they're incesting, you know?
The incestuous. Scene in the previous episode is the only one. I mean, there's been a lot of unnecessary nudity and sex in Game of Thrones, let's face it. But the scene in the last episode between Cersei and Jaime was the only one that I felt was unnecessary.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? They could have not even done that. And it would, especially since it doesn't seem to be having an effect on anything that's happening.
Maybe that's what they're trying to portray, where it looked like she was like, oh my God, this shouldn't have happened. But really deep down, she wanted to. And maybe that's what they're trying to convey.
Well, or she might be trying to put on a brave face and it might come up later.
Yeah, that too.
If you listen to the director, the implication was that she did accept it. In the end,
if you want to hear my explanation of it, I think the director just saw the scene in the book and said, "Hey, that'll get me some good conversation," you know.
Probably,
that's what he wanted. He wanted confrontation to you know, get his name out there.
We'll have to see if anything further comes of it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because honestly, the way he did the scene, I mean, in the book, it's meant for character development to let you know where these two characters are at that point in time in their lives. And in the show, he made such a short saying of it that it really didn't matter anything.
It might have even been more basic than that in the show. In the show, it might have been watched. They're going to have sex in front of Joffrey's corpse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Anybody else here? I was almost feeling uncomfortable. I found Marjorie and Tommen's scene a little creepy.
It was very close to creepy, but they turned it around just the last second. I thought it was
whenever she kissed him on the forehead.
No.
Yeah. Poor Tommen looked like a scared puppy.
No, at first. Then he was like, yeah.
He definitely had a tent.
I think he was like, we could do
but
this.
His arms the age difference is almost bordering on, you know.
Yeah, but he put his arms under those blankets.
Yeah, you knew
she took off.
He was going to have some sweet dreams.
Got to clean up the royal mess in the morning.
Now, Jamie and Brienne.
All those princes.
Jamie and Brienne, their scenes. You can really tell that Jamie has feelings for Brienne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? I don't think it's feelings now, much as it is respect.
Does he send her off in the books like this?
Yes, too? He does. And okay. It was done a lot sooner than in what we've seen here.
And that is a gorgeous sword. Yeah. I never, when mm-hmm. Tywin forged it there earlier in the season, he didn't really get a good look at it.
Yeah. No.
Here, I'm like, whoa, I think I want to buy that.
You want, that was another thing. In the books, he didn't really treasure that sword as much as they showed in there, and he gave it to Brienne very quickly.
Yeah. Which is where the name of the episode comes from. She names the sword Oathkeeper.
Yeah.
But those scenes were very significant. Poor Pod. Look, he looks like looks silly. Was he gonna kiss Bronn?
I swear to God, I thought so. Yes,
it looked like it. He comes across as silly, but he's a very likable character.
Yeah.
So
he's a good guy.
So now he's squiring for someone else again, which is and he's a very loyal
good
squire. At it.
Yeah, and he's good and he's loyal, and that's what he should be.
And
doing.
Now he's hopefully safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'd want Brienne if I wanted to. If I had to travel with somebody and wanted to feel safe,
she
I'd
can throw Brienne. Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brienne or the Hound, those would be my two choices.
Well, as long as they're changing shit around, I hope they change that storyline around because that's a boring.
Yeah. Brienne traveling and traveling and traveling. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's all she does, that poor woman. Like she never gets to stay just in one spot.
It's like Bran. Their storyline's pretty boring too, but they're starting to
which
mix
brings
it up.
Me to this now. Now, in the books, Sam doesn't tell John about Bran, that he sees Bran, right? So John doesn't know. Now, in the series, John knows that Bran's out there.
Well, a lot of things have happened in the books that haven't happened in the series.
This is where it's all these final scenes of the episode here that got
kind of wrapping things.
Got fans' panties all up in a bunch here.
Yeah.
Now,
see, before you start all that in, I'd like to say to the fans, you know what? There's a lot of stuff in the books that they haven't explored in the TV series yet that are much more significant than anything that they explored in this
series. I'm not saying the majority of fans.
Don't get your panties in a fucking bunch. Like, fuck
I'm not
off.
Saying, I think the majority of Game of Thrones fans are like us and go, oh, cool. It's just the really real diehards that don't want to see anything change. It's the same people that when they watch Lord of the Rings are all pissed off because Tom Bombadil's not in it.
Yeah, well, fuck him. What does he do?
That's right, exactly. So...
Doesn't he?
Nothing that the tree
gets drunk.
It's an ant.
Here we go again.
He gets
not
drunk.
A tree,
doesn't he?
It's an ant.
I'm pretty sure he gets drunk, right?
Yeah, I forget. I
passes out in the forest and diddles himself and.
I don't recall that.
that was the porno Lord of the Rings.
Oh, so you watched the wrong one.
That was Horror of the
Lord
Rings.
Lord of the Cock Rings.
Lord of the what?
Lord of the Cock Rings.
When Cock Ring to rule them all.
Okay.
Now, John's volunteers. They all stand purely out of respect.
Yeah.
He's taken quite a pretty good little team here with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd take those guys with me. But Locke's going, so.
Uh-oh.
First of all, his name's Locke. So if you've ever watched Lost, you know that there's more there.
Exactly. But you know what? That guy's doing a pretty good job in intelligence on.
Well, the actor's doing a very good job about not being recognizable because I didn't know who the fuck he was. And he was only...
A couple of people were like, because you haven't seen him in a while, so that's kind of why, right?
Now, the Craster's daughters are definitely not better off now.
Yeah, no. they're kind of screwed, literally now.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of things online. People had...
people were pissed off at that scene, too. Just another excuse
more
for
rape,
more
rape,
sex.
Rape.
And, yeah. But
more rape.
You know what, though? It is showing what these men are doing.
Like,
what they're like.
What's
exactly.
happening.
It's intended to make you not like these guys.
The thing that I laugh at is, like, the main bad guy in this group isn't... You'd think, like, you know, well, you want to give him a really cool name. His name's Carl.
Yeah.
That's usually badass. Like the guy Carl. In the corner cubicle in
he
your office
sounds
that's
vicious.
Just nice to everybody and buys donuts. That's Carl.
But he was drinking out of Mormont's skull.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was amazing.
That was disturbing. That was
how the hell they clean that out so well. Without those flesh eating beetles, it makes you want. Well, I guess they were eating cannibals. They were. Getting into a little cannibalism there too, so yummy.
Carl's one of those drunks.
Yeah,
you know those ones. I'd be like, I was the best fucking guy in this fucking place.
And, I love you, man.
And, you're going, oh my God, is he going to pass out anytime soon here?
Yeah. Now, what about that one? That other guy that was on the Night's Watch? He's really regretting his choice.
Rast?
Now. Rast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I. You know what, though? I really wanted him to die. And I was almost expecting him to die.
When, want him to die.
When he went out to bring the baby and all that, I expected him to get
to die.
Beheaded or something. I've been like, cool.
The White Walkers didn't kill Crest or not Crest.
No, but
what's his face there?
I thought something was going to. It almost made it like. Or maybe I thought Ghost was going to get out.
Yeah.
And,
that would have been cool.
That would have been. Oh, that would have been awesome.
But no. Rast didn't.
Rastafarian?
Eh?
What's his name? Rastafarian?
I don't know. His name's Rast.
Oh, Rast. He's from islands.
And I think this is why they took this away. They deviated from the books is putting Bran at Caster's Keep and having him captured. It's better than having him do nothing for an entire season.
Yeah, just sit there and walk in the white.
Walk. Because then you just kind of...
But then...
Yeah.
These guys did the worst thing you could possibly do on this show.
They fucked with Hodor.
They heard Hodor.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the whole time when they have him surrounded, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, you better hope he doesn't get loose.
Yeah.
Because if he gets a hold of any of you guys, he's going to break you in half.
I don't think he's just mean like that.
No, but I think Hodor is the kind of character if he gets mad.
Yeah, he's like a gentle giant until you piss him off.
Because
he's going to take his dick and club you in the head.
So Bran is leverage now.
Yeah.
Which is this? Now this is the whole. As we said, this is not in the book at all. So this is all new territory. We don't know what's going to happen here. John and his group are on their way there. So, you know, this is it. Really, they're really trying to build it up to something big. But the final scenes in this episode are the what the fuck scenes with these White Walkers.
And that poor baby.
First of all, it is.
Oh, that baby was so inbred. Anyway.
I know why.
That's what Jeff told me too. Yeah.
I love
scenes. But he was so cute.
I love scenes like that though, like the White Walker traveling all alone, the wide shots of him.
Yeah.
Imagine you're just a traveler beyond the wall and you see that. Oh, look, there's a White Walker down over there.
I know why they did that though. They deviated from the book so much is because. The guys, the directors, the writers, they were saying, holy fuck, didn't we have these things called White Walkers? And wasn't that like way back in the day?
Well, yeah, they want to keep the White Walkers coming, right? They don't want us to forget that.
It's nice to know that because we had questions, I remember, a couple of podcasts ago about how they make White Walkers.
Well, now we kind of know.
And now you kind of have an idea about what's going on. So it kind of answers some questions.
Yes, because Darth Maul, White Walker, touched the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That's
okay, but
adorable.
Here's the thing is half of those guys are dead.
Yeah, well, this is something new. Like, so this baby is a White Walker from
birth.
Well, whatever.
So what, White Walkers, White Walkers age, or is there just going to be like this?
Who's
going to
feed this White Walker baby?
White Walker babies, that'd be really creepy.
dead wet nurses walking around that are going to feed this thing? Or?
Yeah, so, but I guess they don't need to feed, right?
So the ending.
So is he always going to be? There's going to be like a vampire baby White Walker. What good is that going
to
do?
No, because I think what they're trying to say. This is what I got out of it is that that guy's been feeding their army.
Yeah.
They might have only had a handful of people. Now their army's like growing.
Now they got a regiment of babies.
Freaking idiot.
It's meant for the audience, and this is what happened. The audience is now saying, "Well, now what the hell?"
No, but
and they wanted us to
now,
have that.
Now they have a regiment of dead Walker babies.
Yeah.
Well, the babies obviously grow.
Yeah,
I guess. But now,
how fast?
Here's the interesting theory. And I first heard this theory, and I was like, "Oh, really?" But then, when you really look at the scene, it is very possible. Someone pointed out that the White Walker that's carrying the baby has the exact same hairstyle as Benjen Stark. And if you look closely, he's wearing Nightwatch armor.
Really?
Cool. Oh.
That's cool.
As soon as I heard the theory, I went back and looked, and he's wearing the same armor that like Jon Snow has on.
Huh.
Wow.
So is that Benjen?
Did we see Benjen right before he left? Because then you could see
The only thing that was different was he had the big furry cape on. Like
yeah, you saw him walking behind, like the behind shot of him as they were walking away.
But he, like the White Walker, has the sort of the ponytail in the back deal. Then Benjen had that. Hmm. And so that's, I guess that's a theory going out there now that he's actually Benjen. Because we haven't seen Benjen since season
one.
No.
So it's assumed that he's dead.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. Yeah.
It could very well be him. And like I said, the armor is the same.
Yeah.
As what the Night Watch wears. So.
Interesting.
Be interesting to see.
Let's just put it this way. I'm just looking that up there now. Yeah. Sorry.
Let's put it this way. You got a lot of shit to tread through before you ever get to the White Walker attack.
Yeah, he has that long face. Say like that guy did.
And Ben, I mean, it's not like it's going to be like, we're not going to go, oh my God, he's Benjen Stark. Because what did Benjen really do? No, but it's really a good
theory. Yeah.
It is, and it would be really cool if it was him, actually.
Another Stark that gets fucked in the ass.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
The Starks really are not, they're not winning this Game of Thrones.
No.
As of yet.
See, anyway. If they played like the Tyrells, they'd be fucking on top.
They're just too noble.
Yeah.
See what honor gets you?
Yeah.
Fucking nowhere.
The Starks and the Starks and the Klingons.
Yeah. Fucking dead. That's what she gets you.
All right. Any other observations about this new episode? Like every episode, I can't wait now till the next one. I hope they don't let the White Walkers go for like the rest of the season now again and before we see them.
Oh, they will. Till like season 12 or something like
season
that.
Season 12.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode, but it was, I guess, maybe not as exciting as some of the other ones from this season.
Let me tell you something. I just got done watching, because we're going to do another podcast too for season 2, episode 7. And that's got to be the most overlooked episode. There's so much information in that episode that was overlooked that you can't believe it.
Yeah.
And I think it was a little bit better than this episode, but yeah, I still like it because it's a new episode, right?
I like it because it answered my question about the White Walkers that I had for a long time.
There have been better
yeah.
Game of Thrones episodes.
Oh, yeah, but it answered what I needed.
And like we said, speaking as fans of the show, this deviation, well, I never read the books, but this deviation from the books doesn't bother us.
No.
Because at least this is now, there's some aspects of the show now that someone like Jeff and Sherry that have read the books are going to be just as surprised as Sarah and I that haven't.
I'm going to be very surprised since I don't really remember the books all that well. There you
go. Besides, I think
I remember the large plot points, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Besides, they'll probably close up this line of questioning by the end of the season anyway, and they'll be right back on track.
Yeah. Well, they're not going off track though. They're not really.
No, they're just changing some things around.
Some people think that the show has trumped the next edition of the books here and has introduced a plot element that's going to be revealed in the next book.
A good analogy is you go to work every morning. There's probably three or four ways for you to get to work, but they all end up going to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So. All in all, like usual, another great episode of Game of Thrones leaves us wanting more, like usual, again. And, no problems. Deviate from the books as long as it keeps us entertained and still keeps the main focus of the story going. Yeah. I say fill your boots.
Yep.
All right. So that is it for today. Thank you for listening. For Sherry, for Sarah, and for Jeff. Oh, wait.
Don't speak for me.
Wait. I forgot. Before we end this today, we have all kinds of, we have some new podcasts to announce and that are coming and basically we're changing, bear with us folks right now, because we're changing domain names and website hosts and stuff like that. So there shouldn't be, right Sherry, there shouldn't be any
downtime, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Hopefully. Yeah. But if something happens where you see that one of our podcasts is late or not, just hang in there. It could be just that we're having some issues with the new site and all that. But
Carrie had to poop.
Yeah. But all of our podcasts are soon going to be part of geekwatchpodcasts.com. A new endeavor by us to really focus on providing full movie and TV reviews of all of our favorite stuff. And if you listen to Game of Thrones, hopefully you listen to some of our other ones like Galaxy Class and stuff like that, and don't go in there. And if you're a fan of the Star Trek ones, we have a new Star Trek podcast called Damn It, Jim, I'm a Podcast, where we review the original series. And also in the near future, look for the actual podcast that's called Geek Watch, That's coming up. And a couple of specialty podcasts with myself, Jeff, and Kirk Stewart from Galaxy Class called the Marvel Movie Podcast. I'm sure you can guess what that's about. And the DC Movie Podcast. We've taken our two favorite comic book companies. I think that would probably be everybody's favorite comic book companies. If you don't, like one of those two companies, I don't really know what you're watching.
I kind of like Dark Horse myself.
Yeah, because they're the Dark Horse, right, Jeff?
Yes, right.
Yeah, but we've decided to take both companies and take a look at all of their films, and that includes live action films, made for TV films, and the animated films from both companies as well. So we have those two new series to look forward to. The new Geek Watch podcast is in development. That's coming soon. The new Star Trek podcast is going to be up and running very soon as well. And, of course, the entirely new website is coming soon as well.
You know, I'm going to put something out here right now. I think you and I should do a podcast.
About what?
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Oh,
the man. Comic and the show.
Yeah. Then we might have some differing opinions on the show. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah, but let me let you read the comics first.
You think this
125 of them?
You think this stuff saturated for podcasts?
Yeah.
Oh well, we'll see. If you have any questions or comments on today's episodes, or just want to express your love for Jeff, because there's lots of love for Jeff.
I'm lovable.
Yeah. I love compliments.
Just send us
an
email.
Still haven't got any death threats yet, so that must be all right then.
Or send your death threats to talkingwesteros@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @talkingwesteros. And for all of us, thank you for listening, and join us next time.
Well, wait, because you know what? If I don't get any death threats by the next episode, all of this next episode's going to be is me sitting here reading every spoiler from the book.
No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I can't let you do that. I'll send you a death threat just to make sure you don't do that.
Okay.
All right, folks. Join us next time. Take care. And remember, winter's coming.
This has been a Naked Wizard Media production. Executive producer, Carrie Kinney. For more information, visit nakedwizardmedia.com.